Oh, I invite you to be seated. Who's going back to school this week? Or this week, next week? Okay. Looking around. Only these people? Nobody on the sides. Okay, you excited?
No.
See, some of you look excited. You guys are like, I'm over it. I'm already done. Oh, this morning is our last in the Sermon of the Bag series. Next week, we'll be doing Rally Day and kicking off our next academic year for junior worship and we worship. And also, keep your eyes open, because you know how we used to give you sheets, like single sheets, and you could take notes? We'll have a booklet, and it'll have the entire Joshua series in it. So it's sermon notes, it's ways you can dig into Scripture. That way we can go through this series together. So those will be at the door here in a couple weeks, and it'll be incredible. No, we're not doing Exodus. I'm bummed. We're doing Joshua. It's going to be, it's amazing. But this is the last one in the Sermon in the Bag series, and this is what I pulled out. A flower. And if you know anything about me, if you've been here at prom, yep, you got it, Tove. When you see plants, plants are the guiding metaphor of the Bible. If you miss this, you miss so much of the Bible. See, the deal is this. When God made creation, he called it good. The Hebrew word for that is tov. Everybody say tov. Tov, it's best understood actually in the plant. On day three of creation, God made the fruit of the garden so that it could multiply. See, there's no morality in that word, tov. Don't mishear this. There's all kinds of morality in the Bible. This is not an antinomian. There is right and there's wrong. It's all over the place. It's just the word tov isn't that, right? An apple has no morality. But an apple is tov. Why? Because in it are the seeds of an orchard. And God puts this tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden, this tree of knowledge of tov, that we are meant to multiply, but we could actually multiply so much that we keep other things from finding and living their tov. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Zucchini are evil. Right? Zucchini multiply so very much that they keep everything else in the garden from finding light or life. Anybody ever have hostas? Our old house had hostas in it. It also, Trish informed me when I found out that there was a plant, that our house had strawberries in it. I didn't remember this because I never got to eat the strawberries, because they were planted next to the hostas. And we've all got that. We've all got those things that can multiply so much that they keep us from finding and living our tov. That's that word evil in the Bible. But the through line of all of Scripture is this multiplication, right? What's one of the early things God said to people? God looked at people and said, be fruitful. And what's fruitful? Well, that means the essence of fruitfulness is multiplying. And so the question that I like to, this time of year, I always ask myself this one, is as I'm going back to the school year, what's fruitful? Where have I seen good fruit in this last year of my life? And where have I seen faith multiplying? And when I say it's a through line, right, what Jesus did is he multiplied himself into the disciples. And one of the things he taught his disciples is right here in John. If you have your Bibles, pop them open to John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus continues this tov and ra thing, but in a really, really, really interesting way. We're in John 15. I hope you're ready. Hold on to your seats. You'll want to underline in this, and it gets silly. You guys ready? John 15? This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay? Vine is a plant. So if you're reading the Bible, the first thing you should know about this is when you see plant, think tov. particularly think Tov and Ra. But, oh, this is really cool. This is really cool. Jesus doesn't actually say, I am. It translates in English that way. He says, I am the true vine. What he actually says in the Greek is intriguing. The phrase in Greek is ego me. If Jesus would say, I am, he'd just say, ego. But he says, and go ahead, insert your own Lego my ego joke there. No, he says, ego a me. So technically, Jesus is saying, I am the vine. Like if you're a note taker, write that in the margin. I am the vine. Anybody ever have to do something in their like when I was a Cub Scout and I made it to Tenderfoot, we stood there and they said, raise your right hand. You've never done this. Raise your right hand. I. State your name.
Elizabeth.
See, you always have somebody that does that. They actually repeat the state your name. Thanks, Justin. Right. You put your name there. You can put your hands down. I want you to see that. I, Henry. That's what Jesus is doing here when he says, and there's seven of them in John. Seven's a significant number. You'll hear that in the Revelation Bible study. Seven never actually means seven. It means all. Jesus says, ego a me, seven times in John. What he's really saying is, I am the vine. By the way, why is he claiming the name I am? Where did God, some people go, Jesus never claimed to be divine in the Bible. He never says I'm God. Yeah, you just read it. I am. Remember Exodus?
Moses.
Yes! Yes! Moses. Moses is walking along in Exodus, and he's walking through the far side of the desert, and he sees a bush that's burning but not being consumed. And so what does he do? He does the natural thing when you see a bush that's burning and not being consumed. He talks to it, and the bush talks back. And so he asks the natural question, who are you, Mr. Talking Bush? And remember what the bush says? I am. See, when Jesus here in John says, I am the vine, he's claiming divinity. He's saying, I am the vine. I am the source from which all life comes. Right? When you look at this plant, the first thing you should think is get it in water. What's going to happen if I don't? Yeah. It's already, if you saw it first service, it's already starting to wilt. When I come in here tomorrow morning because I forgot to take this and get rid of it, it'll be smelly. By Tuesday, it'll be dead. See, that's where Jesus is going with this. He says, I am, ego me. I, God, am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In Greek, the word's the same for cut away and prune. A way to put it is, you're pruned if you do, and you're pruned if you don't. Pruning is inevitable. You're gonna be pruned. Sometimes it's because it's not bearing any fruit. And can anybody else fight God? Like it's clear God's doing this, but you like put up a little resistance. See, sometimes the pruning, there's some stuff in our life that we know it just needs to be pruned and thrown in the fire. And God comes in to prune it and we fight. This time of the year, as we go back to school, it's time to think, hey, what needs to be pruned? You know, sometimes it's sin. You know, there's just no two ways to say it. It's just sin that needs to be pruned. More often, it's just stuff that's unfruitful. Anybody else have that pit in the center of their stomach where every time that summer comes to an end and the school year goes back, you just feel tired before it even starts? You go, oh man, I'm gonna have to run from this thing to this thing to this thing to this thing. Junior doesn't even want to be in that class. But if he doesn't do that extracurricular, Tina's going to be mad at me and yell at me, and it's just not worth the stress. And we already can taste the exhaustion. It's easy to fall into our paradigm being busyness rather than fruitfulness. This time of the year, I like to just stop and go, what needs to be pruned? What needs to be pruned because it just isn't fruitful? Maybe it was fruitful for a season, but it's not fruitful anymore. But like I said, you're pruned if you do. And you're pruned if you don't. Maybe something's really fruitful in your life. And something else needs to be pruned so that that can be all the more fruitful. So that's what Jesus is going here. He goes, I'm starting in 1, verse 1 again, chapter 15, verse 1. Ego a me am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it can be even more fruitful. And then so that we don't make a mistake and think that this pruning makes God, it's that doing the right thing is what makes God love us. He gets crystal clear here. Already you are clean because of my word that I have spoken to you. The word is Jesus. You get that in the beginning of John. Already you are clean, not because of your works, you're gonna mess up again, but because of what God did on the cross. Don't for a second think that because the right thing gets pruned, because you're more fruitful, that means God loves you more. God already loves you perfectly. God can't love you any more than God loves you right now. You are already clean because of the word, Jesus, that's in you. And then Jesus goes on, I love this verse. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do some things. The easy things. The light lifting. No, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the dirt, this flower just can't grow. See, some of the things that need to be pruned away are all of those things that keep us from abiding in Jesus. How's your rhythm of abiding? See, this is what I didn't realize. We don't get this because this is vine talk. If you were to go to Napa and talk to vineyards, they would get this. We don't because different plants grow different ways, and so you have to tweak the metaphor. But what happens is it's this. There's the vine. That's what's in the soil that comes out of the soil. And then there's the branch. The branch comes out of the vine, and on it is a cluster of grapes. Everybody with me? And the grapes, they're not grapes all the time. There's a season of fruitfulness. And then they come, and they pick the grapes, and they crush the grapes, and they make amazing wine. Don't miss the communion metaphor here. They make the wine for communion. And then what they do is they realize this, that if the vine and the branch, that the branch will just keep sucking energy out but show no fruit. And so a good vine dresser will come to the branch and chop the branch off completely from the vine so that there's just a nubby left. Has anybody ever seen the little nubby where you cut it off and you can't really tell if there even was a branch there, but you can see almost a scar? See, in the Greek world, they called that abiding because they knew it was only for a moment, but they knew that that's where the energy came from. How much stuff do you do that you long for it to be fruitful, but your abiding rhythms are just off. By the way, this is why we did the book the way we did it, starting on August 15th. There's time carved out throughout the week where you just abide in God's word so that God's word can fill you up so that you can be fruitful, because we are not fruitful on our own. We're fruitful because of the work that Jesus does in us. How are you abiding this year? Where is God calling you to be fruitful? As we start the year and we see the flower, that's our prayer. That's what we reflect on. That's what we step into. A couple years back, I was in Israel, and it was amazing because I saw all this stuff firsthand. And one of the things that was incredible is sometimes they pruned off a branch, and they pruned the branch off, and it was a branch that was fruitful, but they went over to a vine, a stump, and they drilled, and I saw this with my own eyes, they drilled a hole into the stump because the stump hadn't been flourishing, it hadn't been growing, and the vineyard wants to be fruitful because, I mean, any farmers out there, you want your field to produce crops. If it doesn't, you don't eat. Like, this is very simple stuff. And so they realized that this vine, this branch was being really fruitful, and this vine wasn't seeing fruit. And so they'd prune this one off, and they'd drill a hole, and they'd tape it. It's a thing called grafting. They'd graft this branch onto this, and so it would be even more fruitful. Last week was my 11th anniversary being your pastor here at Promise. Today is week one of the 12th year of me getting to serve you. Today's also the one-year anniversary that last year at this time, actually right about now, I was in Clarksville, Tennessee, and they were trying to figure out how to rehydrate me, because they didn't quite know how to get liquid back into me. I mean, when I was there, it became really clear to me that this pruning thing was happening to me. It became really clear to me that God was saying, hey, Henry, there's been a lot of fruit with you as pastor of Promise, but it's time for you to be pruned, and I'm going to plant you somewhere else. This finding Tove thing that I've been wrestling with since Adeline got sick the first time has continued to grow and flourish, and it became really clear that it was time for me to be grafted. Can I just tell you, it's not fun. I wish that it was. I wish that obedience to what God was calling was fun. I wish it was light. But when I came back a couple months later, I talked to Pastor Scott, and we went out for lunch, and I said, hey, here's what God's putting on my heart. I think God's moving me into this other mission field. And we spent months thinking about it and praying about it. And then a while back, I brought it to the board and the elders, and we prayed about it. And it's with all kinds of weird mixed emotions. And just so it's crystal clear, this will be my last academic year here at Promise. Over this year, I'll be phasing out. I'll be phasing out a Promise and into a new mission field. I mean, I know there's going to be all kinds of questions, and in fact, we're having a meeting next Sunday after the second service to deal with all of that stuff. See, the thing is, it's one thing to preach this stuff. Some of you are sitting here going, yeah, I've heard that sermon before. Henry's spoken on John 15 a dozen times. This abiding and pruning. This is what it looks like, guys. To be honest with you, I wish I could tell you I was mad at Scott and there was kind of some kind of problem between us and I was leaving because I was angry, because then it wouldn't hurt. The fact is when I came back and I started sharing my heart with him, he went from being a colleague and a trusted friend to being my pastor. His wife pointed that out, and it's brilliant. He's one of the best pastors I've ever had, and so thank you, Pastor Scott. There's protocols and all that stuff to be followed, but in the coming weeks, an official recommendation will be made, and the congregation will vote and talk about it, but to make Scott the senior pastor here at Promise, and I'll be sent out. The recommendation will be made to send me out as a missionary. But this is what it looks like in real life. I'm excited about the next chapter, and I'm sad to say farewell. I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I love you guys. You come in third. Trish, being my wife, and Caitlin and Adeline, being able to be their dad, they're tied for first place of the cool stuff that God's let me do. But being your pastor for the last 11 years comes in a close third. So we're going to start a transition, and we're going to see what happens, but I want to go back to Scripture because this is what's most important. The fact is, God wants His church to be fruitful. God wants His church to continue to share the gospel, and that's what's most exciting about this. That through the ministry of Promise and through this ministry that I'm going to be doing, God's church will continue to grow. People will continue to hear that word proclaimed, that apart from Him, we can do nothing. That it's because of Jesus that our sins are washed away. It's because of Jesus that we'll be with God forever in heaven. Not because of our striving, not because of our working. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for all the many amazing ways you grow your church. And God, as we go through all kinds of emotions here, guide us and lead us. God, as we look at this new school year and we know that there's some stuff that we need to prune, let us not fight you. Let us agree with where you're leading. God, as we launch into Home Court Advantage, let us prune those things that we need to prune so that we can spend time in your word and grow as home teams. God, I know there's people right in our midst that are struggling right now with family stuff, with health issues. God, bring healing. God, continue to shape us as we pray that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Time again, boy, you never win. Now prepare our